this creed, as we're reciting the creed, are you telling a story or are you recounting events? And here's what I mean. When I say story in this case, are you telling a story that it's something you can watch and walk away with? Are you recounting events going, these are real things that happen to real people in a real time, in a real place, and that these kind of things, they're still happening, they're still affecting me, and changing the way that I live? Are you hearing a story, or are you hearing events? Let me go back to Balaam, the scripture that Scott just read. When you hear what happened in Numbers, this is where you just got a gut check, are you hearing a story? Are you hearing events recounted? Is it something you go, nice story, bro, but you really go, I don't know if that's quite right. You think of Shrek, and that has about the same validity as this story. Or is this an event where God's shaping us and molding us? Here's a thing I know to be 100% true. I know indubitably, I found out that's just a fancy way to say 100% true, that I was crafted together in my mother's womb. That I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That out of the 7.9 billion with a B people in the world, there's only one Henry. Man, is that a story? Or is that an event? Do I believe that it's true for you too? When I look at Dan, do I see that this is a one in 7.9 billion creature who was crafted together in his mother's womb and made in the image of God? Is it a story or is it an event? Do you believe it about yourself? Do you believe it about those you interact with? How much of your time, if you believe that that's an event, do you spend trying to be just like everybody else? How about churches? Promise, I believe, is a church that is a collection of people that God brought together with unique gifts and talents in this time and in this place, real people in a real time, in a real place, to do a real ministry. That if Promise lets this part go undone, it may very well be undone. Is that a story or an event? How many churches do you know that what they spend a whole bunch of their time doing is trying to be like the successful church? Trying to replicate because it's a nice story, but they don't believe the event. The question that we want to look at today is, are you hearing a story or an event? The end of this week, see, I believe it's an event. I believe that people are uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And so I spent the last long time developing a 26-week workshop. And in about a week, this document, this sketchbook, gets sent off to a committee that'll review it along with hundreds of pages of documentation. And at the end of that process, they'll either say, hey, Henry earned his doctorate, or he didn't. And that's the heart and soul of what this brother dog thing that I'm going to be doing is. It's coming alongside churches, coming alongside individuals and walking with them to own that God put them in a real time, in a real place, to do a real ministry. And I wanted to share this morning just a little bit about how I got here, if that's okay. little sidebar, and then we'll come back to Balaam. Don't worry, it'll all loop around in the end. How'd I get there? The fact is, 11 years ago, I had a front row seat to pain and suffering. See, what I didn't realize is being a pastor, you're allowed to let pain and suffering become a story. I go to the hospital and I visit people in the hospital, and I'm there for an hour or two, sometimes three, but then I can walk away from it. How often, the way we engage with people, do we let it become a nice story that we can click off when we get bored with the episode? See, 11 years ago, I couldn't click it off because it was my own kid. And so I sat there all night watching pain and suffering in the front row. And if I'm really honest, and I hope this just resonates with some people, I had a master's in communication at the time. And so people close to me would go, huh, so we're having this argument and you have mastered communication. I had a master's in divinity at the time. I should know the answers to these things. And yet, when I had a front row seat to pain and suffering, I started asking the question, God, why is this happening? Why do you let this kind of pain and suffering happen? And I went back to Scripture, which, by the way, whenever you have your big questions, go back to Scripture. I went back to Scripture and I said, okay, it all started with this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in it today because we're going through it. We're going through those five Hebrew words that'll change your life forever, but I started realizing that this good and evil, what it meant in Scripture, isn't quite what it means today. We're 2 weeks in. You can still hop in Wednesday night Bible study, 6 o'clock on Zoom, 7 o'clock live in person. We're getting to the good part. But what I realized is this word that gets translated, tov, changes everything. That tov means, and if you were at the Bible study, you could say this along with me, it means multiplication. It means taking that of its kindness that God puts you in this place and multiplying it as his kingdom multiplies. See, here's the first time tov shows up in the whole Bible. This is where it gets really, really fun. If you have your Bibles, pop them open to Genesis 1, and this is verse 3 through 5. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Who's heard that before? Cool story or a life-changing event? See, what happened is it says that God said, and it was. God spoke things into existence. Cool story? Or an actual event that changes everything? Well, let's fast forward. See, a couple verses later in Genesis 1:26, God says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created people in his own image. What does this mean? It means that there's ways that we look like God. One of those things is when God says, things happen. When you say, you speak worlds into existence. Your words create worlds. I put God said and it was, but your words create worlds. If you don't believe me, people are like, whoa, Henry, what's that mean? We just create things, we speak things. And yeah, you can go weird with this. You can be like, water. No, water won't appear. The image is broken. But man, what you say matters. Think of what you're doing today for a living. Who was the first person that told you you could do that? What was the seed that they planted in your heart that grew to fruition? Or even more so, what's that thing you still struggle with? That deep-seated offness. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not... You got yours, don't you? Can you just stop and think for a second? Who was the first person that told you that? Who was the teacher that was having a bad day and they said the thing and that's what stuck in your head and you thought you were dumb for years? Our words create worlds. See, that's what it means. Do you believe this thing is a story or these are real life events that really matter? In fact, in 1961, there was a guy named Austin and he came along and he studied and he said, there's this thing called performative words. Science now backs up what scripture says, that our words create worlds, that we speak things into existence. In the divine image, yes, perfectly like God did, no, because we've all fallen short. Everybody tracking at this point? Give me a nod if you're tracking. Are you, actually, let's just go a little. If you're with me, just give me a little amen. Okay, so you're with me. So this is where it gets fascinating when we get to this event of Balaam. What Balak realized is that some people, when they spoke, things happened even more, and so they called Balaam in to curse the army. Because he knew that when Balaam speaks, things happen. Story or an event? See, so often we look at these biblical things and we go, oh, cute story, dude. But this still happens today. Don't believe me? Watch how many professional sports teams have people there to trash talk. Anybody ever been playing sports? And somebody trash talks? And they literally speak the thing into existence. They get in your head and you can't think of anything but the thing they said. Yeah, happens all the time. Scott will back me on this. He's a sports guy. He can back that up. So that's what's going on with Balaam. And I've been fascinated with this event for years. And don't miss the weirdness. Balaam's going to speak, but God tells him not to speak, so God makes a donkey speak. How weird is that? And if I get honest, I always wanted that kind of experience. Anybody else read the Bible and you're like, man, I wish that would happen to me? Like we want the super cool. So when I was on sabbatical, people have asked, why is this thing named Brother Dog? When I was on sabbatical, I was walking. I was walking. The plan was to walk 700 miles across Kentucky. And, you know, if I want to look at the science of it says when you don't drink water and you're walking and you're outside in the Kentucky heat, you will overheat, you will become dehydrated, and you will hallucinate. Sure, that's part of it. But here's what I know happened. I know that I had talked to my friend Mark a couple days before, and he had warned me, when you're in the hills of Kentucky, when you get back in the hollers, anybody know what a holler is? Okay, when you get back in the hollers, okay, I got some amens in the back. That was a Lutheran amen. It was just... Yeah, when you get in the hollers, they keep wild dogs to protect their property, and they know you. So Mark just warned me. He said, carry some mace, just in case. Just in case. I had also just finished reading St. Francis of Assisi's poem, The Canticle of the Plains, where he talks about Brother Dog. And so I'm leaving the first subdivision, and I walk by a yard that's fenced, and I'm thinking, and I'm praying, and I hear, woof, 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 and I reach for my mace. Even though I'm in the suburbs. And I stopped, and one of the commitments I had to myself was to photograph things, to write things down. And I just wrote down in my journal, I wonder how often I work from anxiety and miss the gifts that God's giving me. Gifts like the love of brother dog. It's just like, cool, keep walking. I got 6 more weeks of walking. Sometime later, a dog comes up to me. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where it came from. Beautiful golden dog. Had a green leash that was just like the belts we'd wear when we were rock climbing in Colorado, but no tag on it. And the dog walked with me. And I prayed, and the whole goal of my sabbatical was, God, you've blessed me with 25 amazing years of ministry. What doors are you open for the next 25? And as I walked, the dog stuck with me. It must have been miles, and I said, you know, get out of here. You're too far from home. It's hot. You're going to need water. Yeah, sometimes I need to listen to myself. I took pictures of this dog because Adeline loves animals, and I texted them back to her. And as I prayed, God made it really clear the next steps in ministry that I was supposed to take. And then I got to the town, and the dog disappeared. I don't know where it went. I don't mean disappeared like I'm looking at it and poof. Fast forward a couple weeks, I get back and I'm sharing with Trish after they rehydrated me at hospitals. I'm sharing with Trish about this dog that walked with me, this dog that kept me safe, the beauty of it. And I asked, did Adeline like the pictures? And Trish goes, no pictures came through. I said, oh, my phone overheated. That's probably what it was. And we open up my phone and I'm flipping through the pictures and I remember where the dog walked with me. I remember where the dog protected me. I remember when I was praying out loud and the dog gave me the look that I went, yep, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I just kind of knew. And I flipped through my camera and the picture's there, but the dog's not. There's all these pictures where the picture's there and the dog's not. So I called my friend Seth and I said, Seth, this shook me. Is this a story or is this an event? Seth studies extraordinary spiritual experiences, and I'm thankful for him. He coached me through it. But he said, Henry, you got to go back to Scripture. What happened to you, is it a story or is it an event? If it's cool story, bro, great. You tell the story about the dog you saw that was invisible. It's an event if you go, hey, it's going to change my life. See, in the tradition of the church, angels show up to people. Angels are messengers. They show up to people and they give them a message. And Seth directed me to Balaam. And he said, pay really close attention to when angels show up in animal form. Let me give you the punchline. It goes, it's because you can't receive them in human form. It's because you're not listening. It's because you need to die to yourself and be resurrected in Christ. You need to let go of your ego and step into what God's calling you to do. If you read the event of Balaam, it's not about a talking donkey, which, by the way, is a whole lot more fun when it's a King James church to say. No, the event is Balaam knew exactly what God was saying to him. Balaam was asked to go curse Israel, and God said, don't go there. And Balaam went, and he told Balak, hey, I can't go there. And Balak said, oh, come on, we'll give you more money. And he went back and said, hey, God, you sure? You sure? And God said, fine, go with them, but don't curse them. You're too much of a knucklehead to actually listen to me. Go with them, but don't curse them. And he went with them, and he's ready to curse them. And God sends his donkey to protect him. God puts an angel in the middle of the road to say, hey, you knucklehead, I have told you 14 times, here's where I want you to go. Listen. Here's the three things I learned from Brother Dog. Number one, God will never leave you or forsake you. God isn't some mythical pretend thing. No, God's going to show up in real ways with real people and real beings and will never leave you or forsake you. If you are feeling forsaken right now, know that God hasn't. Number two thing I learned from Brother Dog, this is the part that kills me. It's not about being seen. Man, I love being seen. And I love the idea of when I'm working with churches and helping them to live into their identity, I love being seen. But the fact of the matter is, like Brother Dog, when you're walking with people in the place that God sent you, sometimes you're not going to be the limelight. Walk with them anyway. Serve them anyway. Love them anyway. The third thing that I learned from Brother Dog is this sermon series. Listen and do. We can listen to God's word all the time. Balaam listened, and he listened, and he listened, but he didn't do. He listened, and it was clear that God was saying, don't curse these people. But Balaam went back to God, and he's like, well, yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? What's your listen and do? And some of you, I know, because I've done this for long enough, I know some of you are going, but I'm not sure if I hear God. I'm not sure if I heard God right. See, the game changer, when you read the story of Balaam, I used to think that it was about a talking donkey. Now I realize it's God whispering, saying, how loud do I have to talk before I get your attention? How loud in your own life does God have to get your attention? What's God calling you to do that? How loud does God have to talk to get you to do it? And see, that's the law part. We talked about this last week. That's the law part. How loud does God have to say it? I want to take it one step further. How loud does God have to say it before you start acting as if you're beloved already, that you're already forgiven, that you're already washed clean, that you're already holy in His sight? How loud does God have to get that message through to you? Do you need that reminder that you set it as your alarm clock, that it shows up every morning and you put a picture of this cross? Because I don't know how it gets any louder than that. That God leaves heaven and comes to earth and dies so that you can know how loved you are. You'd think that's loud enough, wouldn't you? But our God is so good, He gets louder. He goes, in a couple thousand years, you're going to go, but that was 2,000 years ago. Maybe it's just a nice story, bro. And so week after week after week, He meets us here in His very body and blood, somehow mysteriously in with and under this bread and this wine, so that we won't forget that it's Him who knit us together. Let's pray. God, remind us. Talk louder. Man, it stinks when you talk louder. But give us ears to listen. God, give us ears to listen to that thing that you're calling us to do. No matter how scary it may seem. It was scary for Balaam to step into what you were calling him to do. It was scary for all these saints that went before us to step into what they do, and it's scary for us. But God, calm our fears. Teach us to step into your calling. Teach us to listen better. Most of all, God, teach us to listen to the whisper that we are yours and that you love us. God, there's a ton of people that are dealing with COVID right now. names were written out on our prayer cross before the service. And they've been added even since they were written down. God, we know Larry and Whitney are both dealing with it. Jim and Diane are sick with COVID. God, bring healing. We thank you for the healing you brought to Megan and that she's back with us today. God, we pray for Glenn's knee and for Ken, who's getting weaker, and for Terry. God, bring your healing. And God, continue to shape us as we live your word, even as we pray this perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,